3 months after the divorce, Lisa started reaching back out. She didn't have a plan. She just knew she'd let too many people drift while she was busy holding her marriage together. And now the marriage was gone, and the people were still out there somewhere, and she missed them. So she sent some messages. She texted the friend from her old job, the one she used to get lunch with every Thursday before everything got complicated. She sent a note to the woman she'd been close to in the neighborhood, two towns back. She reached out to a woman from her daughter's school she'd always liked but never really got to know. And it worked. Or it almost worked. The friend from the old job was happy to hear from her. The woman from the old neighborhood wrote back right away and said she'd been thinking about Lisa too. The school mom replied with 3 exclamation points. And then, in every single one of those threads, something happened. Or rather, nothing happened. We should totally grab coffee. And then the week got busy. Let's catch up soon. And then 3 weeks passed and nobody followed up. The door was open and nothing was moving through it. If you've ever been there, and I think most of us have, you know that particular quiet. You did the brave thing. You reached out. And then it just sat there. So this episode is about the move that changes that. Not a second reach, not waiting longer, something different. Here's the thing about a reach. A reach is a signal. It says, I remember you, I value you, I'm still here. That's a real thing, and it matters. But a reach isn't a move. A reach opens a door, it doesn't build anything through it. And the reason most reconnections stall right there, right at the we should hang out stage, is that both people are waiting for the other one to make the move. Everyone's being polite. Nobody wants to seem pushy. So you both reach, you both reply warmly, and then you both wait. And the waiting turns into weeks, and the weeks turn into a feeling that maybe the moment passed, and slowly the thread goes quiet. We call this, we should hang out sometime, because that's the phrase it usually hides inside. And here's what that phrase actually is. It's a wish. Wishes are real feelings. But a wish is not an action, and you cannot build a friendship on a wish alone. You need a move. Something concrete, something now, something with your name on it. Not let's get togethers, but I'm going to the farmer's market Saturday. Do you want to come? Not we should catch up, but I saw this and I thought of you. Here it is. Here it is. The difference between a wish and a move isn't how much you care. It's specificity and timing. One is general and someday. The other is particular and now. And the move that works the best, the one the books keep coming back to, is a give. So what does giving first actually do that a reach doesn't? Let's stay with this for a minute, because it's not what it looks like on the surface. When you give first, a small, specific, now thing, you're not trying to buy closeness, and you're not trying to earn a spot in someone's life. You're doing something quieter and more powerful than that. You're going first. In almost every relationship, there's a moment where someone has to go first. Someone has to put something real on the line before the other person has put anything in at all. Most people wait for the other side to go first. That's the politeness trap that's holding Lisa's threads open but empty. When you give first, you break that trap. You stop waiting. You put something in the jar before there's any agreement that there's a jar. And that act, going first, in the open, with nothing guaranteed, is quietly magnetic. People are drawn to the person who goes first. Not because the gift was expensive or the gesture was grand, because going first takes a kind of open-handedness that almost nobody does anymore. It says, I'm not waiting to see how much you're worth to me. I already decided. And when someone feels that, really feels it, they don't just feel grateful, they feel seen. And feeling seen in particular, by a person who didn't have to and chose to anyway, That is the pole that turns a friendly thread into something that actually grows. Now here's the turn that makes this land. Because giving first isn't enough on its own. There's a kind of giving that doesn't do what we're talking about, and you've probably received it. It's the vague, general offer. Let me know if you need anything. Everybody says that. Almost nobody means it in a way the other person can actually use. Or the nice but generic gift. The gift card, the bottle of wine, the thing you give when you haven't really thought about the person at all. Those aren't bad. They're just not what we're after. What we're after is the U-shaped give, the give that only you would have thought to offer. The clipping you mailed because you remembered she was interested in exactly that. The connection you made between her and your friend at work because you've been holding that idea in the back of your head for weeks waiting for the right moment. The specific, particular, aimed right at them thing. The thing that says, without saying it, I was paying attention. And that last part, I was paying attention, is the whole key. Because most of what people do to each other is generic. Most of what people say to each other is polite, but not particular. To be seen in particular. To have someone remember what you care about and act on it. Not in a transactional way, not because they want something back, but just because they were paying attention. That is rare. And rare things are felt. Lisa's rebuild started turning into something real the day she stopped with the general, let's catch up, and started with the specific, aimed give. The article she clipped for one friend. The 5-minute errand she ran for another. Not grand, not expensive, just unmistakably meant for that one person. Let me bring in something that people have studied for a long time, because it lines up with what we're describing in a way that's worth knowing. When researchers looked at how close friendships actually form, not in movies, but in real life, in real groups of people, the way they watched how strangers became friends, they kept finding the same pattern. The people who ended up most connected weren't necessarily the most fun or the most outgoing. They were the ones who went first. The ones who offered something before it was asked for, before it was required, before the relationship had earned it. Those people got pulled closer. The others stayed at arm's length. Now, the researchers had a lot to say about why that happens, but you don't need the explanation to feel the truth of it. Think about the last time someone did something for you that they absolutely didn't have to do. Not because you asked, not because it was expected, but because they were paying attention and they just did it. Think about how that felt. You didn't feel a transaction. You felt something closer to being known. And the instinct that followed, the pull toward that person, that's not magic. That's a very old, very reliable human pattern. The books call it the starting point of a real circle. One person goes first, and because they go first, others follow. Okay, pause here because there's a real objection that I don't want to wave away. You might be thinking, this sounds like a strategy. This sounds like you're giving on purpose to get something back, which is just another kind of transaction with a friendlier face. Or, worse, it sounds like you're giving to test people, to see if they give back, to sort the keepers from the takers. And those are fair objections. Because there is a version of giving first that's exactly that, a move, a test, a check to see what you get. That version is real, and it's ugly, and it doesn't work the way we're describing, so let's be clear about the difference. Giving to win someone over is giving so that they'll owe you something. It's giving with an unspoken bill attached, and people feel that. They can't always name it, but they feel the bill underneath the gift, and what they feel isn't warmth. It's a low-grade discomfort. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is giving with an open hand. The give that says, I decided you were worth it, full stop, and what you do with that is yours. No bill, no test, no watching to see if you're going to pass. An open hand doesn't clench when nothing comes back, it just stays open. The jar doesn't sit there with a lock on it, it just fills. And yes, there will be people who take without putting anything back. That's real. We deal with that. But the answer to that isn't to stop giving with an open hand. The answer is to give inside a circle that can show you, over time, who those people are. And that's a later episode. For now, the thing to hold on to is this. The open-handed give is not a test. It's a beginning. Here's where it turned for Lisa. She'd been doing the work, thinking about this, and one night, she was honest with herself in a way that surprised her. She realized she'd been waiting. Not just in these three new threads, not just post-divorce. She'd been waiting her whole life. Waiting to be invited in before she let herself belong. Waiting for someone to go first and show her that she was wanted before she'd let herself act like she was. She called it her visitor mode. Even in her own friendships, she'd been a visitor. Careful, gracious, always waiting to be shown the door back out before she overstayed. And she understood, for the first time, why the divorce had hit her so hard beyond just the loss of the marriage. Because the marriage had been the one place she'd finally let herself not be a visitor. It was home. And when it ended, she was back at the door of everywhere, waiting to be let in again. That's a hard thing to see. But here's the thing about seeing it. Once you see it, you have a choice. You can keep waiting, or you can walk in. The books say it plainly. A circle doesn't form around the person who waits to be invited. A circle forms around the person who goes first. Not pushes in, not forces their way, just goes first. Takes the open-handed step before anyone asks. Decides to belong before they've been told they can. That's what giving first is, at its deepest level. It's how you walk in without waiting to be invited. So what did it actually look like when Lisa started going first? Because I don't want this to stay abstract. She started small, because small is what she had. The friend from the old job. Lisa remembered she'd mentioned once, years back, that she'd always wanted to learn to make bread, but didn't know where to start. Lisa found a beginner's guide. Nothing fancy, just a free one she bookmarked, and sent it over with a two-line note, "I remembered you mentioned this. Thought you'd like it." That was the whole give. Three sentences and a link. But that friend wrote back 20 minutes later, and that thread has not gone quiet since. The woman from the old neighborhood was going through something with her mother, some tension Lisa had heard about in passing. Lisa didn't fix it. She didn't offer advice. She sent a text that said, "I know you've got a lot going on right now. I just want you to know, I'm here if you want to talk. No pressure either way." That woman called her the next night. They talked for 2 hours. The school mom was about to start a new job and was clearly a little scared about it. Lisa sent her a note on the day, "Good luck today, you've got this." That's it. That's the whole give. 3 words and a period. And that mom texted back, "You remembered. You are so sweet." And then she asked Lisa to go for a walk that weekend. And Lisa went. Not grand, not expensive, not time-consuming. Each give cost Lisa almost nothing. What each one said in its own small way was, "I was paying attention. I see you." And that was everything. So here's your one thing this week. And it's small on purpose, because small is how this starts. Pick one person you've reached out to and reconnected with, someone whose thread went a little quiet after the first warm reply, not a stranger. Someone you already like, already know, already reach back toward. Now give them one small, specific, U-shaped thing, not "let me know if you need anything." Something you already know they'd want or need or appreciate because you've been paying attention and you already know. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to cost anything. It has to be aimed. It has to say, in whatever small way it says it, that you were paying attention. Mail the thing. Send the link with two lines. Make the introduction between them and the person at work who they'd actually want to know. Show up with coffee and say, I thought of you. Text, on the hard day you knew was coming. That's the whole give. And here is what you're not going to do. You're not going to watch to see what they do next. You're not going to wait to see if they give back before you give again. You're not keeping score. You put something in the jar with an open hand, and then you leave the lid off and you let it be. You gave first. That's the whole thing. That is the move that turns a warm reach into a real relationship. So that's the converter, the thing that turns a warm reach into a real, growing relationship. Not a second reach, not more patience, not waiting to be invited in. A give, small, specific, aimed at them in particular. An open hand, no bill, no test, just, I decided you were worth it before you gave anything back. A reach opens the door. A give builds through it. And a U-shaped give, one that says, I was paying attention, builds something that lasts. Lisa's three threads are real now. Not because she became a different person, because she stopped waiting at the door and started going first. Make your one give this week. Next time, we take stock. We look honestly at who's already near you, the people who keep showing up, and we figure out how to build the actual, standing circle that holds everything we've been building toward. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.